dwelling on the joint entry. Okay. Okay, and this bracha, as in the previous one, the commentaries note that you have this duality of referring to Hashem as Avinu and Malkeinu. Also seems to be parallel with various verbs and nouns that are used in the context. We have here, Slachlan Avinu Kichatanu, Mechalan Malkeinu Kifashanu. So, elaborate further in the continuation of the shir, but Chet refers to an Aver of Shogeg. Generally speaking, as elaborated upon by the Gemara in Yuma. For just as an example of that, on Yom Kippur, we say, Ki l'chala am b'shgoga, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading with the Kodesh Baruch Hu to treat even their Averos the Mezid as if there's some kind of element of mistake to it, a lower level of sin. Hesha refers to a chet b'mezid. Sometimes even to a chait that's done out of a sense of rebellion. So, pesha is much more severe than chait. In that context, so the commentaries note that we ask Hashem as a father, as a loving father, to view all of our averos as averos b'shogeg. Even if they're mezid, but he should attribute whatever mitigating factors were involved in that sin as if it were an avera b'shogeg. But we're also realists in the davening, and we recognize that that love relationship between an av and a bein, we might not be zochet to at that individual point in our avodas Hashem. And therefore we plead with Hashem, at least as a king, Mechalan Malkeinu, to not be overly taxing with his subjects. That even though, yes, kifashanu, even though if you're not prepared to view our averos as averos b'shogeg, because they are b'mezid, but nonetheless, as a king, oftentimes pardons his subjects, so he plead with the Melech Malchim Lachim to have mercy on us. So again, we refer to him as Avinu in the context of Aver B'Shogeg, meaning that even the Averos that we have done B'Mezid, we ask him to please B'Ava view it as a lower level of sin, Chet. And even if we're not Zochet to that, so we ask him as Malkeinu to forgive even our Averos B'Mezid, but at least to pardon us from severe punishment on that, much as we would ask of a monarch or a president for clemency.
Isn't it worse? Because then more democracy.
Right, but nonetheless, we throw our hands at the mercy. We throw at the mercy of the king that you have the power to forgive, even though we have rebelled against you, and we plead out of rachamim that you should do so, even if we're not zocha to the full level of the Ava relationship, which would allow our sins to be automatically downgraded to Shogeg. This is an approach that a lot of the classic commentaries have here. Now, if we go a little deeper into the verb of Slach and Machal, so this is something that's developed in different contexts by the Malbin, for example, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal in Al Hatshuva, and many have this duality, although some use different words for it, and which basically goes as follows. Slicha is a biblical word. It appears quite often in Tanakh, V'salachta, Lavoneinu, L'chataseinu, N'chaltanu, etc., as you have in Parshas Kisisa. Mechila is, if I'm not mistaken, I think I'm quoting Rabbi Soloveitchik correctly, in stating that it's not a biblical word. There's no word mochel in Tanakh. It's more of a Mishnaic kind of Hebrew. But the gist of it is captured by a different biblical word, and that is kapara. This is the approach of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and the Malbim has a very similar approach. We actually discussed a little bit of it when we were analyzing the Mizmor of Tehillim, Shir HaMalach HaMamakim. For a second, I'll listen. Ki imcha haslicha. Right, Kimcha Slicha. It doesn't say Kimcha Mechila. So if I'm not mistaken, I gotta check Concordancia. But the concordance that Mechila doesn't appear. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that for him, that's the biblical term Kapara. And what is the difference? So this is something that's very relevant to all discussion of Tshuva, and especially around us at the Yom Neroyim time. But as is oftentimes the case, we have a mini theme in a mini way, a microcosmic way, we have a theme that's more expanded upon at a certain period during the year. Mechila is a pardon. Ayimochelni. You know, do you forgive the right that you have against me to somehow, let's say, in a monetary realm? So someone owes someone $1,000, ayimochel. So, you're not necessarily uprooting the whole cause of the fact that he owes you money, except ayimochel, you're not going to act upon that. You're not going to demand the money. So, kapara, which is related etymologically to, even though it also means to clean, but in this context it means to block, to shield someone. So the sense is to be mechaper, or to atone, which is a minimal, I remember having a conversation with someone, what does tshuva do? So the minimal amount that tshuva does is it achieves kapara. What does that mean, kapara? Kapara means that the punishment that's hanging over you is now removed, or it's blocked from affecting you. So when we ask Hashem to be mechaper on the Avera, that means any onesh that's supposed to come as a result of the Avera should not come. You achieved kapara through tshuva, with the addition of a carbon, through tefillah, through tzedaka, you achieved kapara. So that is the same, again according to Soloveitchik's approach here, as mechila, in the sense that the sin is not uprooted, but rather, the punishment is foregone. So it will be the equivalent of a presidential pardon. Now, I remember this was a whole big deal with Dreyfus. I had to do a report on him in high school, so he remained, you know, a certain kind of heroic figure in my mind. So some of his chaverim there in France, so they wanted to achieve a pardon for him, so he should be able to get away from Devil's Island, where he was languishing away. And he was a man of dignity, and he says, no, I don't want a pardon. I want you to go back to the records and see that it was Esterhazy who did it, and I was totally innocent, and I was a proud French citizen. Don't give me a pardon. Declare me to be innocent. I want to be exonerated. Now again, you know, such nobility of character is rare. Those people will take the pardon if we can, so you can get out of this Gehinnom that he was living in. I think in the end, maybe he got an exoneration. Forgot exactly the history. But that mechila is just a pardon. You can be guilty as anything, but I'm letting you off the hook. You know, like Clinton, you know, in the last days, there's a whole controversy about that. You know, he pardoned a whole bunch of people. A lot of crooks. I think one of them was Jewish. The whole tumult then about, you know, some connection that someone had. But it wasn't saying that they didn't do anything wrong, but the regent, in this case the president, has an ability to just forego the punishment, get him out of jail, or get him out of the executioner's block. So here, we ask Hashem, kifashanu, that even if we did an aver b'mezid, now an aver b'mezid, of course, has a punishment, whatever the punishment could be. It could be lenient, it could be severe, but an aver b'mezid, by definition, is definitely going to have a punishment. So we ask Hashem, we might not be zocha that our tshuva is so significant, or our sincerity is so significant that you should wipe it away totally, but at least be mochel, please. Mechal lanu, pardon us. As a king would not exonerate, but pardon his subjects, even though a king could exonerate as well, but here we're just asking for pardon. Kifashanu, meaning what? Please downgrade the pesha, which is bemezid, that we shouldn't get punished. Now, if you put it together with I'm not sure if Soloveitchik developed it in this way, but this is an old idea I heard from Rav Goldberg herself, Karen Biavne. What's the main difference between an Avera B'Shogeg and an Avera B'Mezid? So, this is something Rav Chana Wasserman also develops, that anytime you do an Avera, Mezid at least, so two things happen. First, you create a distance between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chet is Mavdil between you and Hashem. And that's even if the Avera was B'Shogeg. As long as it wasn't onyx, it was totally beyond your control, so then it doesn't create any division. But if it was within your control, there was a degree of negligence. But Lamaisa, you weren't amazed. You didn't intend to violate the sin. So it still creates a division. Some put it in metaphorical terms as a stain on the neshama. Whatever term you're going to use, but it creates some kind of richok, or some kind of distance in you and Hashem Yisbaruch. The Rav Shlita spoke about this a lot from Rabbeinu Yonah, about the fact that for tshuva, we ask to have ratzon again. We don't just want the avera to be forgiven or their punishment erased. You want to be back in Hashem's inner circle. Yil haratzon, you want to have favor amongst them. So that lack of total favor or creation of a distance is created by any sin. If it's mazid, then there's a punishment too. So in other words, avera creates a distance, or if you want to put it in a metaphorical sense, a stain on the neshama, and it creates a punishment something in the pipeline that at some point after Hashem's Erech HaPayim wears down is going to be punishment, whether in Olamazeh or Olamabah. So what happens when you do tshuva? Well, there are different levels of tshuva. A minimal level of tshuva could remove the punishment. In other words, in the language of Rav Soloveitchik, achieve kapara or mechila. But what's left? The stain of the aveira is still there. You won't be punished, but you're still guilty, so you're not going to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of the benefits that has. The second stage, which Rabbi Soloveitchik in his essay is referred to as tahara, which he also noted is also alluded to by the verb slicha, right? To not only be mochel, to pardon, but to remove the negative effects of the sin as if they weren't there. So that's complete. The higher level.
Slicha is complete.
So now you plug it in, and the verbs and the nouns that are used, and the way we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu fits very beautifully here. Let's start from the second one. Mechalanu malkeinu kifashanu. We start with pesha. Pardon the pesha. In other words, downgrade the pesha to chet. We might not be on the to be zochet for you to erase it totally, that there shouldn't even be a chet, but be mochel the pesha. What does that mean? Take away the mazid part of the chet, meaning the mazid aspect does what? Creates a punishment. Remove that, so now it'll just be chet. So yes, we will be meruchak, and we'll try to work on that as well. But in the meantime, we beg you, please let us not have to suffer for it. As a melech, please pardon us. The first phrase is slach lano avinu ki chatanu. That when dealing with a chet bishogeg, or from the perspective of a loving father, to view even the avera mezid as an avera bishogeg, chet, so now we ask, please totally wipe it away, because that's the only thing that's left of the chet pishogeg. What is the chet pishogeg? Creates a distance. Can you please erase that distance? And that's slicha. And we ask that to the koach of Hashem's Ava relationship with us, slach lano avinu kichatano. So the choice of verbs and nouns here are very precise according to this approach in terms of those two different approaches to tshuva, which fits nicely with, I don't know if the Rav quoted this, but certainly it was quoted by Goldberg, Sassal quoted this, or Chanan Wasserman, that is one of many meanings to that famous Gemara Masechta Yuma at the very end where it discusses tshuva, where it discusses the difference between tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'yira. Tshuva out of love, and this is talking about from our perspective, that when we do it out of love, and tshuva that we do out of fear. So what does the Gemara say about that? Gedola tshuva, greatest tshuva, says Rish Lakish, that it downgrades averos to shigogos. It downgrades, well, what's the expression? It says donos, meaning a mezid avera gets downgraded to shogeg if you do tshuva mi'yira. And then the Gemara says, but if it's tshuva mi'ava, so then zidonos nasis lo kizuchuyos, that averos and mezid become as sources of merit. Now, leaving aside that extra exclamation point to the Gemara, which is very difficult to understand, which many of the Rishonim elaborate on, how could you convert an avera to a mitzvah, to a source of merit? But at least what that Gemara is saying is that the avera is not there anymore. It's totally erased. So it's the same idea. Tshuva meyira downgrades the avera b'mezid to shogeg, meaning what? It removes the punishment. Or in the language of the verbs we use so far, it achieves mechila or kapara. Tshuva me'ava, when it's a sense that of the fact that you realize that your whole world outlook is wrong and you want to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tshuva me'ava, so then that Hashem acts in turn and erases the aveira totally and gives you not only mechila but also slicha.
Not only erases the aveira, it gives you a schus on top of it.
Right. So that part I'm not elaborating upon, because you don't need that for this word, but it has to be more than that, right? Certainly. So that's very much what we have in this bracha here, with the difference between slicha and mechila. Now, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, very beautifully, he adds a little kresh to this. He says, What do you want when you're doing tshuva meira? Hashem is like a shadow, so he's going to respond to you in terms of what you want. So what do you want when you do tshuva meira? So tshuva meira is, I'm not really upset about the fact that I'm distant from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not doing a me'ava. I'm doing a me'ira. I'm afraid of the punishment. Now, yes, because of that, that leads me to regret ever having done it. Yes, but that I'm afraid of being punished. So what does Hashem do? So good. So he removes the punishment. If that's why you're doing tshuva, but not more than that, because that's not what you're looking for. You're not looking for the kiruv because you're not doing a me'ava. But if you're doing a me'ava, so then Hashem acts again as the shadow and responds in kind, and he gives you back the kiruv when it's done me'ava. So in a word, what this bracha asks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, each according to our madregas of what kind of tshuva we're doing, to give us slicha on the averos b'shogeg, to erase them totally as an av, at least give us mechila on the averos b'mezid, to downgrade them to shogeg. Why? Kimocha v'salechata. Ah, chutzpah. What are we going to do? We're going to ask you, give me. We say, but that's what you have informed us, that's the way you act. So we are trying to ride on that midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though we don't deserve either of those aspects, not the pardon and not the erasure, but you are HaMochel V'Saleach. And here the Mefarshim point out something that's even more elaborated upon by the davening of Yom Kippur, and the davening of Yom Kippur, especially the ending, Chanun HaMar B'Lislach. That's Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mida, that we every year we approach him in tshuva and he forgives us again, as we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, Ma'vir Ashmoseinu b'chol shana v'shana, which is something that's totally sometimes even bizarre to our mindset. Here's someone bops over the head, so he says, please forgive me. Okay, forgive me. So bops over the head again, so please forgive me. The parents, you know, have to go through this a lot also. I know I did it 50,000 times, but I want you to forgive me again. So at a certain point, the patient runs thin, but not to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So as long as there's a certain sincerity in the request for tshuva, we can go through the same avera, again, not knowing in advance that we plan on doing the avera again. Otherwise, that's echtav oshuv. So then it's very difficult to do tshuva in that way. But if you really intended to change, but you fall in again, and then you ask for tshuva again, so Hashem does it again. So that's the end of the bracha, that with that koyach of that midah of Hashem Yisbarach, of marvelous loach, which of course ideally we should be emulating, to emulate the midah of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we ask Hashem to both give us both kapora / mechila and slicha / tara. Okay, now off to the races. Yeah, okay. Okay, go ahead. My mom is off to the assignment. Why not start the lesson when you go?
First of all, Chazal and Dr. Islam.
That's a good question.
And Dr. Islam.
No, but
it's exactly the opposite.
Right. That's very good. Well, what do you have in Nusach Sfar, though? In Nusach Sfar, you have Ki, Kel, Tov, Vesala. Forget it. I don't know. I never really thought of that.
And Hashivenu is supposed to be after that.
Tshuva after slicha. Well, first we ask him to do tshuva, and then through the tshuva we ask for slicha. We're not doing tshuva, so how can we ask for slicha? Just forgive without
any. No, but korvenu.
Okay.
It's supposed to be after.
Oh, korvenu.
After that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. That's, I think that's true. Because there's two aspects of the kiruv. There's, you know, bring us close, or allow us to do tshuva to you, and then by forgiving us, you'll come close to us. Hashivenu lech v'neshuva, right? There's a duality there.
I think that the reason for that is you first ask for everything, and then when the Rosh Hashanah says, come on, guys, they say, give me a little bit, you know? First you ask for $100, then you say, okay, lend me $10. You're not going to lend me $100, lend me $10.
That's true.
I think that's the reason for that. You ask for more, and then when the Rosh Hashanah says, who are you kidding?
Good morning.
I hit the red button. Got it.
Not done. Right.